Welcome to a podcast of a sermon delivered at the Unitarian Society of Ridgewood in New Jersey. Our congregation is a place where you will find inspiration in the richness of diverse beliefs and the power of community. Detailed information about the Unitarian Society of Ridgewood is available on our website, uuridgewood.org.
Thank you, Ron. Good morning again. It's wonderful to be back here with you all. I'm not a stranger to your congregation, although I've never led worship with you all before. I've mostly through the work of your reproductive justice group, as Steve mentioned, and when I was working in Washington, D.C. with the Unitarian Universalist Association, I was just so impressed continuously with the kind of commitment and the thoughtfulness and the energy that just seemed to radiate out of this congregation. Whenever I needed people, I could count on the folks at Ridgewood and Carol Lascalzo and Mandy Restivo and many others of you. So it's wonderful to be leading worship with you this morning. I know that racial justice has been a priority of yours for a long time. I've talked with several of you about the challenges of being a predominantly white congregation located where you are, trying to be in relationships with communities of color and figure out what we mean by allyship and white privilege and structural racism and all of these big important ideas, and how are we ever supposed to make a real difference? I get these challenges. They're big ones. Racial justice is, of course, one of the most significant priorities of our social justice work, speaking as of Unitarian Universalists in general. To say that, like that, though, that it's just like a social justice project is, I think, to understate its significance. Those who have been working on it a long time, especially for young adults and people of color I know, find it to be a deeply meaningful and transformative experience that integrates into every part of their spiritual, psychological, economic, religious, and romantic lives. It helps us answer these perennial questions on the essence of really what it means to be human. Who am I and why am I here? What is holy and what is evil? What does society want me to be? And do I want the same thing? Who am I supposed to love and trust, and who not? And of course, I don't need to tell you that racial injustice is a pervasive and urgent matter, requiring the attention of anyone who supports the principles of Unitarian Universalism. No matter what your favorite justice issue might be, reproductive justice, climate change, democracy, housing and homelessness, the list goes on, unless we are explicitly paying attention to race in those topics, chances are there are significant aspects of the issue to which we are going to be blind, and maybe even throwing under the bus at the expense of progress or victory, right? Yeah, we've come a long way on marriage equality, for example, but to pay explicit attention to race on issues of LGBTQ liberation is to realize that housing, community violence, healthcare, job discrimination, that these are the issues of life and death for our queer siblings of color. When marriage equality became the law of the land, the movement lost critical momentum, right? And people of color got forgotten again. There's nothing new, per se, about the recent chronic murders of unarmed black people or the racist targeting of immigrants and religious practitioners of color, or the deeply seated societal fear, exploitation, and attempted control of women and mothers of color. For that matter, there's also nothing new about these multifaceted and powerful movements of resistance, pride, and justice, like we're seeing with the Black Lives Matter movement now. No, to even take a cursory glance at the history of the United States and of Unitarian Universalism is to find racial injustice and the struggle for liberation woven into the very fabric of who we are as a people. And frankly, so it is for me personally. I was 14 years old when I first encountered an anti-racism training we taught. It was at my first national gathering of Unitarian Universalists, a training of trainers for some youth leadership project. And my little peer group of youth and adults were asked to lead a worship one evening. At my suggestion, we included an enthusiastic, bouncy, popular piece of music in UU youth communities at the time. But what I didn't know that was that it was a song from South Africa that had been used as a solemn protest song against apartheid by black communities for many years. That was before the UUs discovered it, improvised our way through syllables of words that I didn't understand, and ignored the history and meaning of the song that gave it so much power and popularity. I appropriated it for our own use. I saw a meme on Instagram last week describing cultural appropriation as, imagine working on a project and getting an F, and then the school bully copies you and gets an A and credit for all your work. So the community leadership at this conference I was at staged an intervention just after the worship. They explained kindly where the song had come from, why it might not have been the most appropriate way to use it the way that we did, and I was mortified. What's more, the message that I took away was that it was impossible, unless one was an encyclopedia of world cultures and knew everything about every community of color, I thought that it was impossible to do this right, and that to do it wrong was unacceptable and harmful and maybe even the cardinal sin of Unitarian Universalism. I mean, I was 14 years old and prone to drama and eager to prove myself to the big kids at the youth office, and I wanted so much not to hurt anyone. But this kind of intervention had the effect of drowning me in the paralysis of white guilt, such that I didn't touch anti-racism leadership or activism with a 10-foot pole until many years later. Looking back, I felt estranged during those years from these really important questions about humanness and so much of the purpose and joy and connection that I now find in my life. And now it's not so much that I'm trying to make up for lost time, although that might be a part of it, but that I know that getting stuck in white guilt is a terribly painful place to be, and that part of my ministry is to help good people get unstuck. The basic truth, of course, about white privilege, or white guilt, is that the cultural assumptions and embedded operations of racial injustice began long before us and will exist, unfortunately, long after us. White guilt, trying to take more than our personal share of responsibility for these systems, is not only a little self-centered, but it's also inaccurate and unhelpful. And doing nothing because we might make mistakes? Well, I keep trying to tell myself that that's not particularly helpful either, right? And ultimately only keeps us isolated, alone, and probably ignorant. No, rather than learning white guilt at that conference 16 years ago, which was obviously just on me, they were doing the best they could, I wish I could have heard this, that Unitarian Universalism has so much to offer its white members as we blunder and struggle and love and listen our way towards liberation. And when I say liberation, I don't only mean liberation for the people over there. I mean our liberation. The messed up standards and expectations that have evolved out of whiteness and patriarchy limit our world, as well as that of other people. The idea, for example, that we will eventually understand and decode everything through the rational, measured progress of science, or that we should even want to do so. The idea that what is not right is wrong, and that the world exists of binary choices between black and white, body and soul, good and evil, and that we must choose between the lofty and the lowly of those choices, body or soul over body, black over white, intellect over emotion. All of these are the cultural products of patriarchy and whiteness and colonization, and they've poisoned the well for all of us, especially those who would not choose those assumptions for themselves. To use or respect other frameworks for morality and intelligence and language, ones characterized by relationship, for example, rather than individualism, or embodied spirituality or story. To embrace these frameworks is to embrace diversity. The problem with whiteness, one of them, is that the only way is that every way of knowing that is not our way of knowing and every way of being that is not our way of being falls again into this false trap of good and bad, with us being right and others being wrong. Too often we default to fear instead of curiosity, right? This kind of liberation is part of what James Baldwin was getting at, I think, in the reading for today. Every time we as a culture permit the murder of an unarmed person of color and cannot effectively ask our police forces to be trained differently, every time a trans woman of color is killed and we do not wonder what within our own wholeness is being buried alongside her, then our own humanity slowly crumbles. Unitarian Universalism asks us to be different. It asks us to notice and to witness for ourselves and for other people too. We affirm the inherent worth and dignity of every person, right? That's our first principle. We affirm the open-minded and responsible search for truth and meaning. We affirm our interconnectedness and the web of relationships, human and otherwise, on which we depend for nearly everything. If these statements are true, and I think they are, we as Unitarian Universalists are well equipped spiritually to join the movement for liberation. Unitarian Universalists are offered three gifts. I'm just going to number three of them from our religious tradition for this work, and I'll outline them briefly and then be done. One, we are asked to be moved, to listen, to learn, and to change. Second, we are asked to trust difference. And third, we are called to covenant and relationship. First, we are asked to be moved. The pursuit of truth and meaning calls us onward beyond what we thought we knew into an ever-expanding understanding of the world and our place in it. I know us, we read the newspaper almost religiously, right? We believe that questions are in many ways answers. We are asked to bring those same curious minds to learn and listen and maybe even change our minds when it comes to racial difference. We are asked to find out more about what we don't know, to listen to our friends and neighbors, to read the bloggers and philosophers and Baldwin and others, to let ourselves be affected by that which we learn, to let ourselves be moved by pain that's beyond our experience, to hear and understand our reality, which may not be our own, but is nevertheless real and important, right? These aspects are part of what we are called to be as Unitarian Universalists. Second, we are asked to trust difference, as you use. We affirm the inherent worth and dignity of all people, not just those who are like us. How boring would that be, to only trust the people who are like us? But what does that mean, to affirm the dignity of all people? I think it means, in part, to hear them out when someone asks us about something new and challenging, asks us to think about something new and challenging. We are asked to listen to their story. W.E.B. Du Bois has kind of an extraordinary articulation of the double consciousness of African Americans, that because they live and work in the communities of white people, they understand whiteness. And they also live and work in communities of black people, so they understand that too, right? There's that double consciousness, which illuminates reality in a way that single consciousness just can't all the way. Social ethicist Miguel de la Torre elaborates on this idea to talk about triple consciousness and quadruple consciousness based on differences of gender, identity, sexual orientation, class, and more. He says that as these consciousnesses can reveal truth about culture and politics and other things, so too can they teach us about God. So let us bring our curious minds and our open hearts, and let us learn to trust difference as Unitarian Universalism asks us to do. And lastly, third, we are called to covenant and relationship. Ours is a tradition of covenant, right? You've got one on the wall right there. Not a creed, not a hierarchy of holiness, but an agreement to come together as congregations and as association. That agreement is what gathers us together. We depend on these relationships and our commitments to these relationships to strengthen and accomplish all that we hope to do together, to raise our children, to grow spiritually, and to love the world. Let us use this basic framework of consensual commitments, personal and organized relationships, as the grounding for this work. Communities that are directly affected by the violence and the racism, by the violence of racism, can be trusted to be their own agents of liberation. May we bring the Unitarian Universalist's teachings of consent, commitment, and community to our work. These gifts and teachings of Unitarian Universalism, grounded in our principles and in our lives together, can be really helpful guideposts as we engage the struggle for racial justice. So if and when you don't know what to do and it feels just too big and dangerous and unclear, be a Unitarian Universalist. Be moved. Trust difference and commit to community. Be moved, trust difference, and commit to community. This is my liberation. This is my faith. This is our liberation. And this is our faith. White guilt is no match for our love. We are the ones we've been waiting for. Thank you.